Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Ooh, yeah.
Well, oh yeah. Here we go, y'all. Take a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
Yeah, it's a triple stone.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And this is Sister to Sister for this Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight, and I pray that you will hear something during our study that will equip you, empower you, and activate you to live an abundant, transformed life in Christ Jesus right now. And as always, we begin each program with a word of prayer. So please, won't you bow your hearts with me as I go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne, just thanking you for this time and this season to share with your people. Lord God, I thank you for the beautiful servant leaders that are here, Lord God, who will come alongside me, Lord, and will help to bring a lesson, hallelujah, that will help to transform your people so that they might live an abundant life in you. And Lord, we pray that everything that we say and we do, Lord, might lead someone that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin into a relationship with you, Almighty God, as their Father and King Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It is in your precious and holy name I pray all things. Amen and amen and amen. Thanks to God, I've been listening to your concerns and your issues. So on tonight, I just want to talk to us a minute about failure. Tonight, I want to talk to you through a very special message or love letter from Jesus that will teach us how to remember to allow God's promises to take control of our lives. And as we do what we ask, I want to invite us all tonight to share in the surplus of his grace as we walk humbly before him. Because I came to tell somebody tonight that God will reset the priorities of your life and will allow you to operate in the flow of his love even after we have failed. Hallelujah. I came to tell somebody that our failure is not fatal nor final, because the truth of the matter is failure can become a stepping stone to success. And we can read an incident from Peter's life illustration, and he illustrates this wonderful truth. So follow me as I read Luke 5, 1 through 11. And the word Luke 5, 1 through 11, and the word of God reads as follows. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. Now, as you can see from this passage of scripture, that we are coming up on a situation where the fishermen were dealing with a failure. And our story starts out with Jesus being surrounded by a crowd, and they were pressing in on him. So he notices the two boats on the shore. And the fishermen were there too. And they were putting away their nets after a long, unsuccessful night of fishing. So Jesus gets into one of the boats and asks if they can move out in the water a bit. Now, of course they do. And Jesus teaches the people from the boat. Now let me ask you a question at this point. Whose boat was it? Who did the boat belong to? If you look closely at our text, you will find that in verse 3, the boat belongs to Simon Peter. It was his boat. The text does not tell us that Jesus first asked permission to get in the boat. It seems that he just did that. But the text does tell us that Jesus asked Simon Peter to move out a little from the shore so that he could teach the people from there. And Simon Peter's response was simple. He allows Jesus to be in charge. And that's my first point for tonight. Our failure doesn't have to be fatal or final when we allow Jesus to take control of our lives. Now, at this point, we don't know how much Simon Peter knew about Jesus. Perhaps he had heard the stories about him. But here is what we do know. Simon allowed Jesus to get in his boat. It does not say that he put up an argument. It doesn't say that he put up any type of fuss. It doesn't say that he tried to kick Jesus out of the boat. What it does say is that he allowed Jesus in the boat, and not only did he allow Jesus in the boat, he allowed Jesus to take control. The starting point for our failure not being fatal or final is to know that we've got to allow Jesus in our boat. We've got to allow Jesus to take control over our life. We've got to allow him, and I mean him alone, and allow absolutely nothing and nobody to have any greater influence on us than Christ does. Do you know what the Bible says? In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through Charlene who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through Catherine who strengthens me, or Edwin or Shirley. It says I can do all things through Christ. So through the strength and the power of Christ, we do have the power to overcome our failures. And we can begin get on that road to success and of understanding that our failures are not final or fatal if we allow Jesus to get in the boat with us and allow Jesus to take control of our lives. You know, we're good at making good hot messes. And that's a lot of, you know, and then we fail. But we never want to let Jesus in the boat. But in our story about Simon Peter, it's important to note that he allowed Jesus to take control of it, you know, of an extremely important possession in his life, his boat. That was Peter's very livelihood. Peter's boat represented his income. When you're a fisherman, your boat is your business. But Peter said, look here, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you say. What about you? There are things that some of us, we like to hold on to. And there's some things that we don't want other people to touch. Sometimes there are just things that we don't want to let go of. But you know what Jesus says? He says in Luke 14:33, and I'm going to read this way. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. The Message Bible says it this way. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. So, you see, understanding that our failures don't have to be fatal or final, the first step in that is our understanding that when we put Jesus first, hallelujah, when we allow him to take control over our lives, and when we allow him to step in and say, look, by the power of his spirit, we have the power to overcome that failure and turn that thing into a success. The next thing I want us to know that our failures aren't fatal or final if we start doing what Jesus asked us to do. It says, when Jesus finished teaching, he said to Simon, push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch. You see, Jesus told Peter where to fish, when to fish, and how to fish. Now, let's remember that Peter and his friends were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew when to fish, and they knew where to fish. They had been out fishing all night and had caught nothing. They failed. Simon Peter was tired. He was exhausted. He had come up empty-handed. He was disappointed. I can only imagine what Peter might be thinking at this point. He might have been thinking, what's the use? I gave it my best shot last night and I got nothing. I failed. Why try again? Or who does this Jesus think he is? He's not a fisherman. He's the son of a carpenter. I'm the fisherman here. I'm the professional. I'm the expert. He thinks he knows more about fishing than I do. But that's not what Peter thought. That's not how Peter responded. Look at what Peter says. Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Folks, let me tell you the truth right here. It's easy to call yourself a follower of Christ. It's much harder to act like one. It is much easier to call yourself a Christian than to live like one. But look at what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, this is coming from John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He also said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Folks, it's one thing to call yourself a Christian. It's another thing to do what Jesus tells you to do. If you truly are a Christian, you're going to follow Christ. And that is, you're going to do what he asks you to do, when he asks you to do it, where he asks you to do it, the way he asks you to do it. Now, you did things your way. How did that work out for you? You know, when Jesus told Peter to go out into the deep, you see what Peter did? He went on out into the deep. He let down his nets and he started fishing. Just as Jesus had been taught, you know, just like Jesus told him to do. Now, check this out. It was the same lake they had fished in all night, the entire night before. They was using the same boat. It was the same nets, and they had come up empty. He was the same man who had caught nothing the night before. But this time, he listened to Jesus, and he did what Jesus asked him to do. And we saw what the outcome was. It was completely different than the night before. You see, they now had boatloads of fish. No, he didn't. They had two boatloads of fish. You see, Peter had let Jesus be in control. And then he had let Jesus take charge. And then he had done what Jesus had asked him to do. That's how we make sure that our failure isn't fatal or final. And then I'm going to share this point. They shared the surplus. Ha! When God has blessed you, when he has corrected some things, when he has fixed some things, hallelujah, you share the surplus. The Bible says when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Look, God can take your failures and flip those things and bless you unto overflowing. He will do that for us. He will, hallelujah, use our mistakes, use our failures to build our character so that we may testify to his goodness as we walk humbly before him. Look, because I want us to look at what Simon did after the miracle of fish. He cries out, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. See, when Peter saw those fish, the scales fell off his eyes. And his eyes were opened. He realized that he was standing in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the miracle so astounded Peter that he cried out, Lord, I don't deserve this. I'm a sinner. This is too good for me. But this incident became a turning point in Peter's life. He became humble before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I tell you, we all could pray that prayer. One, because we're men. Two, because we're sinful men. And three, because we're sinful men who have now learned how to become humble through the presence of our Lord and Savior. When we stand in the presence of our holy God, how can we not be humble? He is spotless. He is pure. He is all-powerful. And we are not. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, it wasn't by Peter's efforts that the nets were full. Sure, Peter had gone out in the deep water. Sure, Peter had let down his nets. But it was Jesus who gave him the fish. God had blessed him. And Peter knew that God had blessed him, and he was humble. A big part of our living is walking humbly before God. But you see, that's not the end of the story. You see, because God will hit a reset button on the priorities of our lives. The Bible says when they had brought their boats to land, they sought to left everything and they followed him. Think about this. When they got to land, they left behind the greatest catch they had ever experienced, sitting right there on the shore. And they left and followed Jesus because they realized if Jesus could perform a miracle like that, he could do anything he wanted to do. They realized he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Christ himself had invited them to become a part of the greatest fishing trip in the history of the world. Jesus said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, how does this story relate to your life? Maybe you feel like the disciples before Christ came along. I've worked all night, and I've come up with an empty net. Does that describe your attitude towards your marriage, your job, your relationships with others, your life? Simon Peter didn't say, Lord, I've worked 10 hours and didn't catch anything. I give up. I've had it. I'm through. No, he didn't give in. He didn't give up. He let Jesus take control. He did what Jesus asked him to do. And when Jesus blessed him, he shared the surplus. And he walked in humbleness before God. And he allowed Jesus to reset the priorities of his life. If we want our failures to not be fatal or final, we have to allow Jesus to take control. Then we have to do what he asked, no more and no less. We don't need to be trying to put our 2 cents worth in on it. We don't have to put 5 in on it. We just need to do what he asked us to do, the way he asked us to do it, when he asked us to do it. We have to walk in humbleness as we do it. We have to share that surplus, hallelujah, which is the gospel of the living God, so that we might lead others to reset the priorities of their lives. The Bible records many failures because it records life as it is. The Bible is about real people. And today, some of the biblical failures are only remembered for their successes. But before there was success, there was failure. We just looked at Peter. And then we're talking about the same Peter that he was a disciple upon whose confession Jesus said he would build his church. He was the one who defended Jesus in the garden. He was a preacher of the gospel. Yes, 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 yes. But he was also the one that denied he even knew Jesus 3 times. Peter's story was recorded in Luke 22 in And it's the perfect illustration of how our failure does not have to be fatal or final. And we need to recognize a few other things. Our failure doesn't have to be fatal or final if we recognize that everybody fails. Nobody is perfect. Everybody fails at something. And when we honestly face defeat and we realize that just because we fail at one thing, it doesn't make us a failure at everything, we are less likely to stay there just wallowing in our own self-pity. Peter was absolutely confident of his loyalty and strength. He was absolutely sure that he would never fail Jesus, you know. But as Peter is nearing the finish line, he falters. Three times he denies Jesus before a few nameless people of no particular significance. At the moment that we least expect, Peter flounders. Peter had failed. Peter failed to tell the truth. He failed to keep his promise. He failed in his loyalty to Jesus. This is the same Peter that we just talked about, that Jesus performed his miracle for. But you know what? We can't get all uppity with, we can't turn our nose up at Peter, because invariably some of us wind up doing something similar in our own lives. We start out really well. We have the best of intentions. We are excited and we want to succeed in the faith. We have a desire to be faithful disciples of the Lord. Yet, we often become distracted from the faith. We allow the wrong influences in our lives. And then we make a bad decision. And as a result, we experience failure. But praise God, our failure does not have to be fatal or final if we recognize that everyone fails. Go ask God what you're good at. Talk to him about it. Ask him to show you what he wants you to do and how to do it and when to do it. Because our failure does not have to be fatal or final if we remember that God's love and forgiveness is not dependent on our success. No matter how much we fail, no matter what sin we have allowed into our lives, the Savior who died for us still loves us. The story of Christianity is the story of failed men and women who found new futures through our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke 22:61, we have a single sentence of explosive power. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Jesus turned and looked at Peter. The Greek word used here is a word that denotes intense looking. It is used in one place in Scripture to describe the very first look of a blind man who has just been healed, opening his eyes for the first time. Now, as most of us married folks or folks that have been married knows, a single look can display a whole range of emotions. Was it disappointment and sadness that Jesus was looking at him with, or compassion and understanding? What kind of look did Jesus give to Peter? We are not told, but whatever it was, Peter broke down afterwards. He went out and wept bitterly, you know. So whatever it was, it touched Peter to the core. And then that was the turning point in Peter's life. Jesus had predicted a turning point back in Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. That was the turning point. For it was at that point, the remainder of verse 61 tells us that Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." But you got to remember, our failure is not fatal or final if we remember that God's love and forgiveness is not dependent upon our success. And our success is only found in trusting and depending on Jehovah God that never fails. And we have to learn how to grow from our failures. We need to take advantage of that. We need to learn all we can from it. Every bitter experience can teach us something. Let's look again at Luke 22:62. Verse 62 tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. When it says that he wept bitterly, it means that he wept with great remorse. As we have seen previously with Judas in Matthew 27:2, remorse alone is not enough. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Our failure does not have to be final or fatal when we learn how to grow from our failures. When we submit ourselves to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, studying and praying according to God's word, and then actually listening for the voice of God, hallelujah, that will help us to grow in faith, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. And our failures does not have to be final if we put them behind us. Hallelujah. You know, I came to tell somebody, you can't walk into your future if you're constantly remorseful for your past. Because all of us are going to fail at something, like I said. You know, but Proverbs 24:16 reminds us, for though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he rises again. Everyone fails. What we need to remember is that we do not have to stay down. You may fall by accident, but staying down is a choice. Okay? Remember that. Now, you may not be able to reclaim the loss, undo the damage, or reverse the consequences, but you can make a new start. You can be wiser. You can be renewed by the Holy Spirit, and you can be more determined to do right. The best part of Peter's story is that it didn't end in verse 62. Peter did not have to live the rest of his life with the heavy burden of sorrow and regret. Instead, Jesus reinstated Peter and asked him to become a leader of the church. John 21:15-18. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lamb. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself up and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Saints of God, our failures do not have to be fatal or final. And I want you to get this down in the marrow of your very soul. Get this down in the marrow of your bones. I need it to let this marinate daily in your spirit, because I want everyone here listening in this studio tonight to know that we are victors and not victims. We are the head and not the tail. And God has made us lenders and not borrowers, and more than conquerors. And then if we do find that we fall short, and we do fail, hallelujah, we need to remember, if you look at an acronym for failure, it is first attempt in learning. And we need to remember that. If we fail once, don't just give up. Don't get angry. Don't make excuses for it. Simply get up, dust yourself off, go to the Lord, give him control, let him get in the boat, give him control, do what he asks you to do, hallelujah, let some testify to his goodness as you walk humbly before him, thank you, Jesus, and just remember, everybody fails, nobody's perfect, nobody down here is Holy Ghost Junior. So I just want you all to, you know, to know that right now things may be looking bleak. You may be feeling like, you know, you're letting your family down. Maybe you're not, you know, your job went away and you're having a hard time finding, in, you know, that job that will pay you what you made before, or maybe, you know, you're not well, you know, you're suffering with a chronic illness, or you're in chronic pain, or, you know, you have you might have cancer, and you begin to feel like a failure because you're feeling like you're a burden on your family. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You know, saints of God, we have to allow people to bless us even when we fail. Because some of us fail because we try to do it alone. Some of us are failing because we don't go to the Lord first. And then some of us are failing because of our pride. We don't want to let people know that we have a problem. We don't want to let people know that, you know, our marriage may be failing, or our finances may be going, or we lost a lot of money in a stock, or, you know, we don't want to talk about that. But we can always go to the Lord, and we can let him make sure that whatever our failure is, it will not be fatal or final when we give it to him and let him reset our priorities. Amen. Hallelujah, and to God be the glory. So that is my teaching for tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that you got something from that, and that the Lord blessed you through it, and you just know that, you know, I don't care what it looks like. God has already, he's already declared and decreed that we are more than conquerors, and we are. And it doesn't matter what the world shows us or the world does or the world says. We should know that we're going to make mistakes, but we can get back up and walk on in Jesus' holy name. So now, if there anybody would like to have comments, we have a few moments here. I know we have some servant leaders from Spirit Alive here, but if any of you would like to have a comment, put your praise on it, hallelujah, you're more than welcome to by pressing your 1 on your keypad. I'll address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that will let you know, me know that you have a comment or question or a praise. And also, if you're in our chat rooms, just type your message, and I will read that on the air, and we will answer that question. But I do have two people that are very dear to my heart in the studio with me tonight. I have the Holloways with me, Apostle Edwin and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway are in the house with me tonight. So I would like to give them both a few moments to have a word about failure and discipline, or however the Lord leads you. Amen. So come on in the room, family. Amen. All right, Apostle Holloway, are you there? All right, they must be having technical difficulties. But we praise God. Is there anyone else?
We are here.
All right, amen. Go ahead, Apostle.
We give God praise and glory and honor tonight, that God wants us to obey. The song says, obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we know in Psalms, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He directs our path. And that the path may not be squeaky clean. It may be
That's
up
right.
and down. It may be in and out, and it may be round.
Right.
But you're going to make it through to the other,
yeah.
the other side. You're going to make it through. So we give God praise, glory, and honor for the word tonight.
Amen.
I just praise God tonight for the word. God is good. And I thank the Lord for hope. Hope in God. Where we can know that there are going to be failures and mishaps along the road. But we know without a doubt that God loves us and he doesn't give up on us. We just to stay on the road and just really his mercy and his grace are benefits to us. And I just thank the Lord that he doesn't give up on us, and thank God for Peter submitting himself and allowing Jesus on the boat. So we got to just allow Jesus on our boat. Amen. Praise God.
You know, I was talking to the Holloways before the program started, because they're faithful and they're always in the studio before program time. And we always say here, I've heard them say it, I say it, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. And so when we have a failure, you know, a lot of times it's real easy for the enemy to come in and attack us and tell us, oh, see, you thought you were so holy. You thought you were so righteous. But look, you messed up. You failed. You know, you didn't make it. You know, but we can't stay there. Saints of God, we have to remember who we are at all times, and remember that we are in battle right now. You know, we are at war with the enemy. He does not want us to live an abundant life in Christ right now. He does not want us to be successful. He does not want us to be effective witnesses. He doesn't want us to be effective prayer warriors. So it's his job to trip us up, accuse us, and keep our focus off of what's important, and that's doing the things of God and sharing the surplus of who he is and what he means in our lives. You know, since this pandemic, I've never heard so many Christians murmuring and complaining and, you know, talking about, you know, they feel like the enemy is winning. And how can you, you know, where... You have to keep the faith. Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. God is still sovereign God. Through a pandemic, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, he's still God. He's still Elohim. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And trust me, if there's any failing going on, it's with us. It's never with God. There are two things that God cannot, will not, and will never do, and that is lie or fail. He doesn't do either one of those things. So if there is a failure, if there is a problem, it is definitely with us. And instead of justifying, instead of making excuses, we need to go up there. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this failure to be fatal or final. So please, don't just take the wheel, Lord. Take the whole car. As a matter of fact, I'm getting out of the car. I'm letting you get in the driver's seat. I'm getting in the back seat, and you drive, because I was about to drive me off a cliff. So we can't, you know, we just have to allow God to reset, and don't be afraid or ashamed to say, Lord, you know, I thought I heard your voice. You know, I thought I heard your voice, but maybe I didn't get the how right or the when right. You know, help me to hit the reset button. And he will. So I just want to thank all of you tonight that tuned in. I see a lot of you are in here. I praise God for you. I try to keep my messages pretty simple. Hallelujah. I want to thank the Holloways for their faithfulness and for them chiming in, because they always have some really good nuggets to reiterate or to simply share. And I think that's the beauty of coming together as a family, because you have different experiences, you have different testimonies, and you get the richness
of all of that. So I just want to thank the Holloways once again, Prophetess and Apostle. Thank you so much for being in the house with me tonight. I want to thank all of you for listening. It has been a blessing to come before you and teach, you know, about our failures not being fatal or final. We just need to remember that. Get up and dust ourselves. Let the Lord dust us off and keep it moving. So this has been Bishop Shirlene Cook for Sister to Sister. Hallelujah. Thank you all for listening. I pray that you will continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
God bless
you.
God bless you. Thank you.